Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of Limitless Wrestling, The Road, Episode 11, October 7th, 2020. Mason, first of all, we're just fixing our little sound thing there. We didn't have it on the... We discussed last episode, like, did we have it on interview mode or did we have it on standard? We had it on standard. Because I actually listened to back-to-back episodes, and then one of them I could just hear it instead. And then one, it was like one in one ear, one in the other. So I put it back on standard. I think we've actually got it pretty... Not very technological, but I think we have our sound levels pretty close by pointing the microphone slightly more towards you than to me. But I think we got this one. Now, let me explain, first of all, this was my pick this week, because you picked last week. I picked this one because I actually saw the very first episode of Limitless Wrestling, and I thought it was okay. And then I just been so busy, I haven't got to watch any of the other ones. And I was listening to the King of Wrestling podcast that came out on Friday, October 9th. And he reviews a lot of indie events, and he talked about Limitless Wrestling, and he said it was really good, and he talked about the main event, and once I heard what the main event was, I was like, perfect, that's exactly what I want to talk about this week. And I know that you knew the story that went with it as well, but basically Anthony Green was in the main event, so I was like, perfect, we'll watch that. I also knew these shows were only about an hour long as well. I'm like, perfect, that fits in with our format great as well. Now, the one thing that we couldn't do for this one, though, is we've been trying to, if possible, pick the main event, the match that we most want to see, and then somebody that we don't know. Yeah. And for this one, we could pick the main event, we could pick somebody we didn't know, but we didn't know any of the people, really, from the other ones. I knew little bits, like I'd heard some names, but I couldn't really say, in all honesty, I really wanted to see their names. So we decided to go through the card, and there was only four matches anyway. It was only 52 minutes. We picked the three that we liked the most, and we'll talk a little bit about the fourth one. And then I think we got a little bit of bonus talk to talk about as well, which we didn't know about ahead of time, but we'll get to that one later. All right, match one then, Delmi Exo versus Nick Stapp. So I chose to look up Delmi Exo. And she's actually been in a few of these Limitless matches, although she's not been mentioned for a while. She was in the very first one. She teamed with Ashley Vox, who we'll be talking about later. Team C-Stars. And they actually got they defeated Waves and Curls. They featured in show two, where she lost to Rip Bison in a singles match. Show four, they appeared against Ava Everett and Davian. Not who you thought it was going to be. You thought it was going to be... Sinclair, right? For a second, you thought it was going to be the Platinum Honeys.
Oh, yeah, I did.
We'll get to them later as well. They lost to Ava Everett and Davian in show four. And, so it's been a while since she's actually appeared on the show. It's been seven episodes since. And I saw one more match that really caught my eye, though, Mason. I'm not sure what BCP tag team title is, but it was vacant. And it was Team C-Stars again defeat the Ugly Ducklings.
Oh, wow.
So, wow, I kind of like to see that one. BCP One For All event at Knights of Columbus in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. I think it said it was January 2020. So, you don't get to see that many... my brain has gone. Intergender tag team title matches like that. So that was kind of cool. You get to see them as like tag team matches, but I don't think I've ever seen them as intergender tag team titles. You don't really have many tag team titles on the indies, I don't think, either, really.
Yeah, you don't really.
I'm trying to think of one. Like, all the organizations we go to, I'm suddenly like, no, 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 no. Yeah, it's kind of a little bit... I guess VCW.
MCW?
The one down in Richmond does. MCW might do as well. Gosh, it's been so long since we've been to wrestling now. I can't even remember what it's called. The one where Simply Safish are tag team titles.
Oh, yeah. They do have a tag team.
And that organization?
SCW like, something.
Jeez. This is how long? It's been
UCW?
Over... UCW. Jeez, yeah. It's been like 7 months since we've been on the indies, and then suddenly you forget all the names for that. All right. One thing I did notice, different people wearing masks. Almost everyone was wearing masks except for the ring announcer, but I did notice he had a Gaslight Anthem shirt on, which I was kind of excited by. Gaslight Anthem, I've got a couple of their albums. Somebody recommended them to me because he said they're kind of like Bruce Springsteen, and they've actually appeared with Bruce Springsteen before, so I was excited by the Gaslight Anthem shirt. All right. What about the match then, Mason?
So, Delmi licks her hand before the test of strength, But Nick demands that she puts on sanitizer before they actually do it because it's COVID.
Now, I thought what was going to happen was, because she was kind of, he was saying, no, she needs sanitizer. And they called somebody over. I thought she was getting the sanitizer. I thought he was just going to do like a cheap shot, like hit her on the back or something. And that didn't actually happen. I was kind of surprised the way that went, actually.
Yeah. And then Nick does like a huge power bomb on the apron. And there was 3 headbutts by Delmi, and Delmi wins with a pedigree.
Now, I thought you were going to actually talk about the ring itself, because you actually pointed, so you asked a question.
Oh, I didn't notice this until later.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll get to it at that point there. The other thing I liked about this this particular event is it did feel like an old-style show, as in they had little promos in between cut in. So Anthony Green cut a promo saying he wants to face Ashley Vox again. There was a promo from Bo Tatum as well. And that led into match 2, which I don't think we have much for. Brandino Davis versus Bo Tatum. The only thing I have of interest, while I was kind of looking at this one, according to Cage Match, his last match was September 2020 before this. No big deal. That's like a month ago, right? Not big a surprise. The last match prior to that, that was the most recent match, September 2015. And if I go back to like the third most recent match, July 2012.
Obviously, they didn't get some of his matches.
That's possible, or he was injured, or, yeah. I know Cage Match is not 100% accurate, but I was kind of, when I was looking at that, I was like, whoa, that's a lot of, that's some seriously big gaps there.
Yeah.
Anything you want to mention for this one?
Yeah, so both of them are undefeated in Limitless, mm-hmm. and there was a...
He's only had, like, 2 matches. Well, as far as I can tell,
I thought it was,
know.
Like, 7.
Oh, well, in that case, then, there is some serious gaps on here, then.
So... There was a massive Alabama slam by B.A. Tatum, and Brandito wins with two Uranagis.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I noticed I actually went quickly with him not wrestling that much. I went to the other guy. I looked up Brandino Davis. His last tweet was New Day, new haircut. Now, New Day, new haircut, new look, feels great. No, May 2014. Okay. So he hasn't tweeted in over 6 years. So I didn't find much for him either. So it's probably a good job we didn't really pick that as our major match. Match 3, Dylan Nix versus Danger Kid. Danger Kid from on Pro Wrestling Fandom is listed as the Danger Kid is an American professional wrestler. He currently wrestles for Chaotic Wrestling, where he currently holds one half of the CW Tag Team Championship. He also wrestles for Limitless Wrestling, Truly Independent Wrestling, and other Northeast Independent promotions. Now, this is where I got excited, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's like the greatest tag team name ever. And you're like, what? And I was like, you're going to have to wait. All right, he tags... first of all, he faced Jalen Braden and Trayvon Jordan, and his tag team partner is Aiden Agro. They're known as the Main State Posse. Now, to me, that was really cool, but I don't know if you know the other organization.
No.
Like, you know the Jim Nasty Boys, right?
Yeah.
And you know that's a play on another tag team, right?
The Nasty Boys?
Correct. This is similar. The Main State Posse is a play on words for the Mean Street Posse.
Oh.
So I wondered if you'd heard, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, that's great. I love that. That's really cool. All right. I figured you might not know. So the Mean Street Posse was a professional wrestling stable in WWF. The group consisted of Pete Gass, Rodney, and Joey Abs. Now, that was the thing when I looked. I thought I knew this group. And when I heard that, I was like, I don't recognize those. Joey Abs sounds a little familiar. The Posse's gimmick was that they were friends of Shane McMahon from the Mean Streets. It's got in quotes because they're not Mean Streets. Mean Streets of Greenwich, Connecticut, where they're all from similarly upper-class backgrounds. I think it said they debuted around 1999, so I might have just seen the tail end of them, which is why I recognize the name there. But I thought that was a really cool tag team name for them to come up with, Main State. And they got some pretty cool t-shirts I saw as well. All right, tell us about this one, Mason.
So Dylan just wanted to use his power advantage for the first few minutes. And this, it was a basic...
So, what? Tell us about the size of the wrestlers then. What was their approximate weights then?
About, like, 170 and 280.
Yeah, there was so probably about 100 pounds.
After that, I wrote Brain versus Braun. And there was a suicide dive by Danger Kid. And that's when I noticed how low the ring was.
Yeah, it was... I'm not sure exactly, but I'm going to guess 1.5 off the ground, something
like
that. Like,
he could stand up and look over the ropes.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Because you mentioned one thing, like, it's like, it certainly wouldn't hurt if you did, like, a suicide dive.
Yeah, but it would hurt if you did a power bomb.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So, there was a huge slam on the apron by Danger Kid, and Dylan, they did, like, a replay of his, like, double stomp.
Yeah, they had instant replays, which you don't normally get to see on indie events. Normally they just leave like the hard cam running and then they'll cut between the other cams. Yeah, I thought that was cool because one had actually, a number of times we've said recently, like, oh, we like missed the finish because we were writing notes down or something. So that was kind of cool that they actually did the replays so you could see the major moves while the match was still going on. I like that.
So there was then Danger Kid won with a Swanton Bomb.
Mm-hmm. I really like Danger Kid. That was why I first went to him. Within a few minutes of the match, I was like, oh, he's good. I like him. I really liked his moveset. But yeah, that move he did to the finish right in the end was really cool. Jumped over the top rope, took the other guy out, and then yeah, I thought it was good from
Danger,
there.
Danger makes me, I always think of Danger Mouse, not Danger Kid.
Not Where's Danger Rogers?
No. Well, it's not like, that's like, it's like different because he has a name before it, but I think of like Danger Hawk and Danger Mouse.
Okay.
So now I'll think of Danger Kid too.
One thing I also noticed for this, we didn't talk about it in the first match, but I noticed it. You noticed straight away, I was like, whoa, they're really spread apart. And I was like, well, duh, social distancing. They weren't like, when we see Synergy, they have all the chairs super close together, but then they have gaps between the people. Yeah. These just had like odd chairs set around. One person had like a computer chair that you're in right now. I was like, wow, that looks really cool. So he was kind of like swinging around because like you like to do and you can rotate on it. But I thought I saw in the crowd, I thought I saw AC Romero, but
yeah,
I couldn't.
He was.
It was AC. Yeah. I couldn't tell because he had his mask on, and you were like, why would he be there? And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure they probably film more than an hour at once. They probably film 3 hours at a time or something, and then release them at separate times. So we saw him there, and we know he fought in one of the other matches.
Yeah.
Actually, that was the first thing that came up. When I looked up Limitless online, it came up with a Limitless podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode I found, I think the last one was like 2 years ago, or the first one that came up was 2 years ago, and it was like AC Romero. So I was like, oh, I guess AC Romero. Actually, they showed him on the intro, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, that's something I didn't write down as well. Because we started watching initially through my laptop and then casting it to the TV. And I was like, oh, I should just put it straight on the smart TV. And when it came up on the IWTV thing, it's like, do you want to start from the beginning or do you want to resume? And we'd already watched like a minute. So I clicked resume and it went right back to the start again. So we got to see AC Romero. They had like little clips at the intro of all the different wrestlers there.
I like when the cat is not down here and I'm sitting in this computer chair because she has two chairs that I sit in that she loves. And whenever I sit in it, the computer chair is too far for her to like jump when I'm sitting in it.
Yeah, she can't
and
get
so
that high.
And so she sits right next to it to see whenever I leave. And if I'm watching like a wrestling event, then she just leaves because she realizes that I'm not going. Little black chair that's like a foot tall, she will jump in it if I'm sitting in it.
She'll jump on that. That's her chair. That's not your chair. No, I'm surprised,
actually.
That used
to be Jackson's chair.
She hasn't been... we knew that she would claim it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it's kind of too... It's too small for even her, so it's definitely too small for Jackson. She's normally down when we record. This is rare that we're recording a podcast without having her down here, to be honest.
She's upstairs on
her blankets.
Her
morning time, she's normally straight down here. One other thing I noticed, I did look up Dylan Nix. It said that he's the Limitless Dojo trainer. And I actually referred to Danger Kid as the student at one point. So I did wonder if Nix has actually trained Danger Kid. I don't know for sure.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around.
Mm-mm. No, Dylan Nix is older.
Oh.
For sure. And it said, oh, trainee. Oh, trainee. I apologize. You might be right. I read it the wrong way around. Trainee. Yes. So he's being trained right now.
Danger was the brain.
Uh-huh.
Because he had more experience.
It also listed him as the Dweller of the Depths, second best friend of the Oceans, and his move is the Suplexopod. And as soon as I was reading that, they mentioned the Aqualock that he actually put in as well.
Yeah.
So I was reading Oceans, and as soon as I read the word Oceans, they said Aqualock. I was like, oh, okay, that's obviously his
second best friend. Who's first, Poseidon?
I don't know. It doesn't mention that. Good question. They left us hanging on that one. And one other thing I noticed about the venue for this one as well, they didn't have AC, but they actually had like fans. I won't say tape to the roof, but you know, like the desk fans that you can, well, perhaps not a desk fan, a floor fan where you put them in, because I have one in my classroom.
Yeah.
They had like those attached to the ceiling and then switched on.
Yeah.
But I guess it's going to get hot. I know it was in Maine. If it's in the summer, it's still going to get pretty hot in those places.
I watched
this
cool magic trick where this guy, where they went to a bar and he picked out a card and then he threw it up over the fan and it was actually their card. Because it was like a split second that it could go through that fan.
Uh-huh.
And it was amazing.
I think I've seen a similar trick as well. Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, main event then. This was for the Limitless World Championship. Ashley Vox versus Anthony Green. This was also the season one finale, which is another reason why I thought this was a good time to review this. You know they're going to finish the season with a bang. What we didn't talk about, though, is what's going to happen later. So this was the season finale. They're not going to wait long, though. Next week, there's going to be a documentary with Anthony Green, and then the following week they're actually going to kick off season two. So when this episode actually comes out, if you're listening on the actual day, 2 days later, season two will actually start. Ashley Vox, as soon as she came on, I was like, I think she's on NWA. I looked it up. She made her debut on October 12th. She posted that her debut was going to be on October 15th last year. So pretty much when this episode comes out, it'll almost be that year anniversary. And October 9th, it is Wrestling Friends, though, but at Delmi Exo and I are aiming to be the longest reigning at Shimmer Women's Tag Team Champions. So she's obviously got a history with tag teams as well. We mentioned that she'd faced the Ugly Ducklings with the person from the first match. So, yeah, she obviously does that as well as singles. All right, Mason, what you got for this one? Should be a lot for this one. I thought this was a great main event.
Yeah, there's a cool rope bouncing Hurricane Rana by Ashley. And there was another replay of Anthony's super kick. Ashley does a fish hook, which he, like, gets her fingers inside Anthony's mouth and then pulls it, which I don't know why they're doing right now. And a suicide DDT to Anthony. And Anthony goes for a powerbomb, but Ashley turns it into a Canadian destroyer. And Ashley gets in the fish hook, and Anthony rolls through it and pins for the win.
I was entertained for the whole one, and I was worried for this one because I really enjoyed this one. I was like, we might get Mason doing his classic. It was so good, I was just watching it. I was a little bit worried for this one. Yeah, they talked also while we were watching this about the fact that they'd faced before in 2018. Anthony Green had said that it was like his best match that he'd ever had, and that was really good, etc., etc. And then, yeah, he won. He retained his title, so that was how season one looked like it was going to finish. And then, of course, at the end, he cut a promo again. He actually called Ashley in, and he was kind of really emotional about it. He swore a little bit, but he was basically like, you're like the best person. He's like, I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you, you're like really good. Like you and me, we put Limitless over all the time. And he was very complimentary about it. Gave her a huge hug. Said something else, and then gave her another big hug as well. But yeah, he was really emotional about it. And that was it. It was 52 minutes all done. And oh, one more thing right at the end. He cut a second promo afterwards, but it was more in the arena area. And then he said something like, he talked about the road, obviously.
This is the starting road for Limitless.
Yeah.
But it will be the end for some.
Uh-huh. And then he put his belt down, and he walked off. And you're like, he's relinquishing his title?
And then Dad started counting, and then he started distracting me, and I was wondering what he was doing.
So I count to 10, I was like, I'm just trying to figure out how long it's going to take you to figure out why he's relinquishing the title, considering you'd already mentioned it in like match 2, because you knew the story with Anthony Green.
So he's going to NXT.
He is going to NXT. And actually, that was the other reason why I wanted to do this. I thought this would be the perfect time to talk about the new class. So we knew he'd moved. I guess it was officially this week as we're recording. So we're recording on Saturday the 10th. So it's a week. We're recording a week ahead of time right now. All the people who went in, Mason. So there's Brandi Paralek. I apologize if I'm pronouncing these wrong. Known on the independents as Brandi Lauren. She's an exciting competitor who has stepped in the ring for promotions like Evolve and Shine. This is coming straight from the WWE website. Cameron Rogers is a 6'1" Texan who competes under the name Kurt Stallion. I've seen Kurt Stallion multiple times at Beyond. He was at Nova Pro as well. We've seen him at Nova Pro before.
Oh.
Rogers broke out in 2019 in Evolve, where he battled the likes of Matt Riddle and Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, and Mansoor. And then the person, of course, Anthony Green, is a flamboyant Massachusetts native and standout grappler from Evolve Wrestling. The 26-year-old stood toe-to-toe with NXT champion Tyler Breeze and Evolve, as well as many of the fellow recruits from this class. So right now, it doesn't necessarily talk about different names. Like when I talked about Brandi Lauren, it said Brandi Paralek. When I talked about Kurt Stallion, it said Cameron Rogers. So I'm guessing Anthony Green is Anthony Green, as it didn't say otherwise. Because you asked, like, I'm guessing it might be. Because you asked as well, like, is he going to have a different name? Now, that I don't know. Of course, they could change them once they bring them in. That's certainly a possibility. All right, let's see who else we got in this class then. D'Artagnan Ruffin. I love that name. Better known as Leon Ruff, is a former Evolve Tag Team Champion. The energetic 24-year-old has competed on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and 205 Live in recent months, going up likes against of Sheamus, Aleister Black, Tommaso Ciampa, and Legado del Fantasma. So I'm going to guess Vince obviously saw those matches and were like, yeah, we need to sign him long term. So that's pretty cool for him. I don't remember those matches, but unfortunately I've missed a lot of those. I certainly haven't seen Tommaso Ciampa in a while. I've been really bad at keeping up with NXT except for basic highlights and the pay-per-views. Joseph Ruby. Does that one sound familiar to you, Mason?
Nope.
Okay, we reviewed one of his events very recently.
Joseph Ruby?
Yep.
Is it...
Perhaps Joseph's a little formal. Joe. 6 foot, 249 pound powerhouse from New Jersey. Competes as Synergy. Joe.
Synergy.
Competes as Joe.
I don't know.
Gacy. Oh. He's a former three-time combat zone wrestling. That's CZW heavyweight champion and Evolve tag team champion. Remember we talked about, we thought he was like, is he retiring or something? He wasn't. He was just leaving because he was going to NXT.
Oh, yeah.
That was the reason why that was his kind of his last matches. Josh Bruns is an opposing figure, 6'8", 268. As Josh Briggs, he's been the Evolve champion and battled the likes of NXT UK champion Walter, Matt Riddle, John Morrison, and Raw tag team champion Angelo Dawkins. Because you actually mentioned, after this, we're going to talk about another match, and we mentioned that Josh Briggs was on the card, and you're like, I'm finally going to get to see a match with Josh Briggs. Well, if you watch some NXT, perhaps you'll just get to see Josh Briggs anyway.
Yeah.
Jacob Casper is a 25-year-old amateur wrestling standout from Lexington, Ohio. Casper wrestled at Duke University, where he was a two-time NCAA All-American and won the 2018 ACC Heavyweight Championship. He also placed in the 2016 Olympic Trials. And as a Tar Heels fan, I immediately think that as a Duke wrestler, he should be a heel.
Yeah.
Last one is Jake Clemens of Ohio, is a referee who has evolved... officiated matches on Monday Night Raw as well for promotions like Evolve and AIW. So it's possible we've seen Jake before then as
well.
They're
bringing up a ref?
If it's AIW, they need refs as well, of course. You got to bring refs up.
I mean, they can't fire a ref. Well, they don't really fire refs.
They retire as well. They don't wrestle forever. It's just they're not firing the other wrestlers as well. Certain wrestlers, after a certain time, then they're retiring. So there's a lot of different brands right now as well. So they have a lot more TV shows going on. So they need those people as well.
I feel like it's hard to be a great ref because it's so simple.
If they're making it look simple, that means they're doing a really good job, because it's not
simple, but
you got to be in the right place at the right time.
You don't have like a gimmick like
Bryce does.
Wrestlers.
I think Bryce does.
Well, he's the only one I can think of.
I'm really embarrassed. I can remember. I was just about to say I can't remember a name. Aubrey Edwards as well, from AIW as well.
Oh.
AEW.
Well, there's a lot of refs that don't have like a gimmick like wrestlers because. The wrestlers can have like a cool gimmick and that brings them up automatically.
Okay. But what about the brothers that were wrestlers as well? The Hebners. They're super famous.
Huh?
Earl Hebner.
Oh. Well, that's just.
But besides all those ones.
Yeah. Besides all those, it's just it's hard to get noticed as a ref.
But the point is they're not, because you don't want them to overshadow the wrestlers. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And same with a referee in soccer or in football. You wouldn't want them to. You wouldn't want them
to. I mean, you can have a
the
good...
commentators are slightly different, because they're going to...
Yes.
You want them to be have a presence, because they're going to promote the wrestlers. But the referees are just a small part of that. But no, you still need wrestlers to call up.
There's not one commentator that came up to WWE as a commentator. All of them wanted to be wrestlers.
That might be true, actually.
Corey Graves used to be a wrestler, then he got a neck injury.
Uh-huh.
Michael Cole, I don't know what happened with Michael Cole.
Actually, Michael Cole might well be the exception. I was thinking Tom Phillips, but then I heard when I was watching that drive along, he was actually a wrestler as well.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. He got injured as well.
Samoa Joe, everybody knows him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one, two.
Like Aiden English, he used to be a commentator. Now Beth Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. I'm not arguing with that side. You're not getting any arguments from me on that.
NXT guys are.
All right, let me finish up with one more quote. At Ava Everett, October 7th, my best friend's dream came true. Anthony, don't sell yourself short. You've proved that a kind heart and hard work go a long way. If there was a word that meant more than proud, I'd use it right now. You deserve it. And that was it. Yeah, he's moving up to NXT. But afterwards, I said from this one, oh, actually, let me, before I go to that one, the Limitless No Control that he talked about, 2018, which we did went and watch afterwards, which was really good. I was going to ask you then, so obviously we saw Anthony Green several times, actually. You got his autograph on the back of your jersey and that, so it's always cool when you see those people get called up. That was my question. I asked you last night, I said, I'll give you a few hours to think about it, and you didn't think about it at all. Who have you been most proud of who we saw on the Indies who got called up? And if you don't want an answer, I can answer first.
EC3,
he was on Impact.
I know, but we saw him at
AIW. I know we saw him at AIW. Cool. But he was on Impact already, though, so he was already on a TV show.
Okay, I'll go with Shotzi.
Shotzi would definitely have been one of mine as well. The other two people who I thought of immediately, when Jordan Grace got called up to Impact, like, we always knew that Jordan Grace was just going to be a huge wrestler. Like, you could just tell straight away. From even our limited experience of indies, you knew she was going to be a star straight away. But that was kind of cool. It was like, okay, we're actually seeing it now. We've seen our first person who we watched from day one move up. And the other one I would add is Kylie Rae as well. I was always really happy for her. I thought she totally deserved it as well. But yeah, Shotzi was certainly a cool one as well.
There's a few.
Okay. Go on.
Okay. Orange Cassidy.
Oh, of course. Oh, gosh.
Chris Statlander.
I can't even believe I totally forgot those people. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So seeing them with the Independent Wrestling TV title and then actually get to see them move up too. I feel so bad that Chris injured herself. She was doing so well. Yeah, she's injured. Yeah, that's why I went, well, you don't watch AIW, but AEW. Jeez, I got to. AIW just released like a ton of shows on on Independent Wrestling TV. Yeah, they went back to like 2007 or something. I think they're uploading their whole back catalog on there. So I was like, ooh, I like AIW. I watched one of their shows the other day as well. So I always, right now I'm thinking more, I've watched more AIW this last month than I've watched AEW, I would think.
Does MJF count?
I guess so.
Penelope Ford
was, yeah, that was cool as well. There's been a lot of people who have been called up, which is why I said, who were your kind of favorite ones? Yeah, Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander. I would definitely agree. I totally forgot those
people
as well.
Talk about people called up. My bus driver from sixth grade, he said he played the, he was playing with, the Patriots coach.
Belichick?
Yeah, Bill Belichick.
I think he told me that, yeah.
And he also played with the Chargers player. I don't remember his name, though.
I'm going to struggle to name Chargers players for you. All right, do you want to talk about this Limitless No Control from 2018? I think I might go and watch the whole event.
I don't have much because Dad was distracting me.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll tell him why I was distracting you in a second.
Well, I have Anthony does a huge kick, and then I have the finish.
Fantastic. Go ahead, give us a finish.
Anthony tapped.
He did. Because like we were like, he's obviously going to win, and he didn't. It was Ashley that actually won. I thought this match was amazing, but the contrast between gone from a COVID situation to a non-COVID situation, those people were packed in there.
Oh, and the,
they looked really strange. They had the Platinum Honeys with them.
They were interfering.
They were. So, right, the reason I was, well, you were asking me questions, which you always do, but I was laughing, and you were like, well, these aren't funny, but I was like, well, I'm posting, and you're like, you're going to post that on Twitter, aren't you? I was like, probably. So, it was Ava Everett and Angel Sinclair. So, the first question you asked me is she married to Tony St. Clair? Now, I admit they sound very similar, and admittedly, that was good that you recognize that's a wrestler. And I was like, no, he was like a wrestler when I was growing up. So, yeah, he was 72 years old. So, it was totally the wrong name. But then you asked as well, like, is it Sinclair, as in, like, Sin Cara? As in, like, a Mexican? I was like, no, it's just all one. To me, I thought that was so funny. Like, you kind of split it up. And it does, once you listen to it, Sinclair. It's not like you say all the Sinclair, all in one. You can kind of see that split there, but no, there was no connection at all. I was dying with laughing while I was listening to those two things. You weren't impressed at all.
I'm telling you, I need Twitter so I can say all the dumb stuff that Dad says.
You have a podcast. You can say it whenever. You got a weekly opportunity to say all the dumb stuff. You write it down.
I can't think of it.
I'm going to say you can have the opportunity whenever you like. There's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be very entertaining. I don't think there's going to be as many examples as you think, but going forward, you'll have that opportunity, okay? You can say, you can voice it, and that's going to get to way more people, probably, I would think. But hey, that's it. This Limitless No Control, I'm going back and watching it. Because I said, if we'd have picked this one, oh my gosh, I would have had real trouble picking Like, I couldn't even tell looking at the... Sometimes on IWTV, they put the card in reverse order.
Yeah.
So they have the main event at the top to try and attract your attention, and then the first match is actually at the bottom. I couldn't tell what the main event was and which was the first event. That's how stacked this card was. And you said you'd have had a real problem picking. Yeah, I would have had a huge problem picking. There were so many core matches on this. What was that? I'm trying to think who Darby Allin faced in the first one. But it was like a real... There were some really good matchups there. Things you wouldn't normally put together. It was like, ooh, I kind of want to see how that's going to play out. Was it Josh Briggs and Chris Dickinson as well? Yeah. I'm like, jeez, that's going to be hard-hitting as well.
I finally get to see Josh. Because I had a Josh shirt on, too.
Yeah. Well, he was supposed to come at one point to, I don't know if it was Crab Wrestling. It was Nova Pro, but it was going to be at the Old Ox Brewery.
But he got injured. He broke his arm.
Yeah, he got injured, so he didn't come for that one. I'm trying to remember who Chris Statlander faced. Was it Penelope Ford? I think that was on the card as well. And
well, she came out after the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps that wasn't that then. Perhaps she faced... Oh, no, she came out at the end of this match.
Yes.
But yes, to talk out of Shivox, but she eventually faced Penelope Ford. I can't remember the other... there was a big, like, five-man match. I know KTB was in it. There was somebody else from Synergy. I want to say Brandon Kirk. And it was, like, five big hitters in that one. So, yeah, Limitless No Control, I think I might go back and watch as well. And...
I already know what I'm picking for next week.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. When can
you
I pick say
a, it? You can say.
I'm picking the Masked Wrestler.
I don't mind reviewing that. I don't know if we can do that as a, because that's going to go on for several weeks though. If you only talk about the first one,
if we want to
put that out on YouTube, we could possibly do that. I definitely want to watch
like
that.
Like a live one.
We could do that. I think if we recorded it like Tuesday, I think it comes out Wednesday or Tuesday. Okay. We could record it like the next morning or something, or next evening and put it out. We can kind of do it as we're watching it, because we can keep pausing it as well.
If we can do that, then I want to review the Black Label Pro. The tournament.
Oh, jeez. That's like 5 hours.
I know. We could just pick three matches.
You could. But how? It's a tournament, though.
I guess so.
So that kind of makes it difficult. And I'm groaning because I'd already started to watch it. I wanted to watch it, but I don't. I got to watch it over multiple days if I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I actually think that although we're taking it in turns to pick, we actually have a common one that we both want to see. So I was going to actually suggest to you that we actually go with the one that we both want to see, which is, I think it's New South. It's Cabana Man Dan versus Mance Warner.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually out now, and that's also thanks to King of Wrestling podcast. He talked about that match, and we're like, we talked about, as soon as we heard that was announced, we were like, we're reviewing that for MGB. So that's out. I think it's similar. It's like an hour 15 minute show, and they have like four or five matches, so we can probably watch the whole thing. So I'm going to propose it's that. I had one more proposal for you as well. How about we get Jay to pick one?
Oh yeah.
There's no reason Jay couldn't be part of this. Jay knows way more about wrestling than I do. I think he knows more about WWE than I do already. Backed by the fact where I gave him that question. I was like, what's wrong with this quote? Somebody said, I'm twice the man that you are. And the other person said, I have half the brain that you have. And I was trying to get him to make sure he knew the fractions thing. And he immediately said, that's Psycho Sid. I'm like, how on earth do you know that? I hadn't even heard that quote.
He watches WWE videos
all the time on YouTube. So I don't see any reason why we couldn't pick something. I might, like, I'm not letting him pick H2O or anything like that. But I'm sure if we could find something that... Perhaps we might have to help him pick something. Like, hey, Jay, you can choose between this, this, and this. What do you think about that for an idea?
Yeah.
I think there's no reason why he couldn't join us occasionally as well on these things as well. All right, I think that's it, though, for this one. Anything else?
No.
All right, that'll do.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye! Goodbye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.